Rotatoes, how is it going? The holiday season is approaching. And if you haven't already seen the Cocoa Corner merch, I know I've mentioned it several times already, but I'm going to keep on mentioning it because it's so freaking cute and amazing, and I love it. Plus, stocks are very limited, so by this point, I should imagine that we might have even sold out some things. So please do go and check that out as soon as you can. The stickers especially are not print on demand, so they will and can run out. And I don't want anyone to be disappointed because the stickers are super cute, and I really want to see some people sporting them at conventions for everyone's favorite little psychopathic turtle, as played by the one and only Zach Oyama. But we are here for episode 3, part 1, and our players are in quite the predicament, as they will be probably for the rest of this whole arc, but I hope that you enjoy it. Aaron, John, and George absolutely crushed it on this arc. I'm so proud of them, and I'm proud of the arc, and I hope that you're loving it. But I will talk to you again next week, but for now, take it away past me.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everyone. I am your Dungeon Master, Jasper William Cartwright, and I'm trying to be really quick today because boy, oh boy, do we have an episode to get into, and I can't wait! So, without any further ado, let's introduce the rotators of this arc, Arc 1 of Campaign 2. We have George Provera playing Owly Flash.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Hey.
Woo-hoo! We got John Mackey playing the shitty toilet himself, Shitty Toilet.
That's right, folks, Shitty Toilet, all the way. I'm also a radio host now.
All the way from Memphis. And the Ice Queen herself, it's Erin Keefe, who's playing Tundra. No relation. I just, the Ice Queen was a totally unrelated thing.
Hello. I miss being in person with you guys. We're remote now.
I know. It was so much fun. That was so much. I'm already side-eyeing tickets to come back for the like finale of this, because I'm like, there's no way we're not like wrapping this up in person.
Yeah, we got to do it big.
I'll buy us candy.
Yeah. And then we'll put it all over the internet for people to see us making faces.
George won't make a single face because sour doesn't hurt that guy.
I won't sacrifice my integrity for the sake of being fun.
Yeah, none of us have ever done that. Jesus.
Yeah, no, like, not at all.
That's never happened. In fact, patrons and listeners, maybe you can help us. If you, by the time this comes out, we probably won't have filmed the finale. So can you send us just like links to the sourest, like gnarliest shit possible?
Oh, scary stuff, everybody.
That's smart.
Yeah, really, like, honestly, like, stuff that, like, will break a man's soul, and then we'll get George to, like, eat as much of that before we record the finale.
We three will get George to eat as much of it as possible.
I am no god. I will fall.
And that's what we want to see.
And that's what we're trying to prove here.
Yeah, that's the goal, George.
That I'm just a man. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
To prove that you are but a man.
It's coming.
This is like the plot of Gladiator 3, I think. Absolutely incredible. Well, if we're all ready,
let's freaking do this, dude.
Whew, oh. Should we dive in?
I guess we have to, don't we?
Don't say die.
Should we die, Vin? Yeah. Okay. In which case, let's go ahead and do a little recap.
Deep Space Recap.
Ah, welcome back, my little stardust vagabonds. Gather close, because this one's a doozy. Our ragtag crew touches down in Giantsbane, a city so corrupt it makes a pirate's conscience look clean. Tasked with delivering a mysterious, definitely not dangerous crate to the Broken Crown Casino, they decide to park the ship, Bugsley, and navigate to the underbelly of society. Enter Mark Ribbons, a dock worker with cinnamon-scented lies and a penchant for Grand Theft Spaceship. But a quick zone of truth later, and the gang bribes him into being less of a problem for now. After all, he was just trying to help his family. Then, oh, it's shopping time, baby. But what starts out as a simple gear-up mission turns into a fashion disaster when Shaddy Tut-Tut, don't ask, buys Ollie the most unhinged spiked armor imaginable, complete with Mohawk helmet. Meanwhile, Tundra haggles for an actual upgrade because someone in this group has to have common sense. But just when things seem simple, boom. A little flash of insecurity and Ollie unsummons his steed. The crate drops, and so does the city center's power. Magic fried. Lights out. Ollie flatlined. Turns out the box was holding something so cursed it EMP'd a whole block. And now some big, bad, very curious thugs want to know why. The crew scrambles into a back alley weapons shop, cutting deals and spilling secrets, with Ollie barely clinging to life. They take the only way out. A dark, sketchy tunnel. And just when they think they might escape, a pair of fangs glint in the torchlight. Something coming. Fast. And that's where we left our heroes. Stuck. Exhausted. Magicless. And about to pay the price for some very, very bad decisions. Catch your breath, stargazers. You're gonna need it. For this time, on the Rotating Heroes podcast. Can I get everyone to roll initiative, please?
Oh my god, we just are starting.
Jasper, you bastard.
Can't we do a shopping montage again?
I tried, Aaron. I really tried.
In our little dream that we have before this battle, we all went shopping. There's a little montage of us all buying clothes. I rolled a 6.
I got a 17.
3 minus 1 for a 2 in initiative.
All right, we're getting the bad rolls out of the way. We're getting the bad rolls out of the way today. It's okay. It's okay. Everything's fine.
Jasper, if we die in this game, do we die in real life?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what the man in the corner is here for?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you all got your man?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
He brought his own stool, which was considerate.
It's just a dude with a stool, and you don't know whether he doesn't use the stool. You think the stool is there for him to kill you with it.
No, he's not sitting on it. He's sitting on the floor.
Yeah, he's
next
not
to
sitting
it.
On it. Yeah.
My guy is playing Candy Crush on his phone. He seems to be sort of keeping himself busy just in case I die in the game.
But just with a huge knife across his lap. Yeah.
He seems nice.
My guy's been in the bathroom since he got here.
Oh, no. Classic your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah? Okay. He says he hopes he feels better.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. They're all friends. Oh.
Of course. They work together.
The guys know each other. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you'll be fine as long as you die in the next 10 minutes, John. Yeah. And your guy. Yeah. Your guy's still going to be in the loo, yeah. So you'll be fine. If you're going to die, die quickly. Okay. So just to refresh your guys' memory, you're at a T-junction in a tunnel, which is literally just big enough for you to be on your hands and knees. There is no other space in this tunnel. And so essentially for Ollie to have thrown this torch, Ollie's in the T-junction, right? Shaddy's a little ahead. Tundra, you actually can't see what's happening right now because you're behind Ollie and it's around the corner. What's happening? You probably hear like a throw, a land, a hiss, and then I'm assuming Ollie's saying something to the effect of, oh shit, right? That's what I'm imagining you've heard, Tundra. However, you will see something, which is this wretched, abominable creature throwing itself forward. And it really does feel like it throws itself forward. It kind of propels itself with a completely reckless abandon down this corridor. And it's like hitting into the walls and it looks like it's scraping itself and hitting, but it is paying no mind whatsoever as it tunnels directly for you. Ollie Flash, your AC, I believe, is 20 right now?
20 right now as I am cowering behind my shield in my new stolen mithril plate. Which the mithril element is not working.
So, this creature gets to make 2 attacks, and we have here a +6 to hit.
Fucking hell.
Just so that I'm only doing this because obviously it can't not knock you down, right?
Right. If it hits me, I go down.
Yeah, the big question is here, if you go down...
Is it going to follow up?
And then it hits you again,
oh, you,
that's the problem.
You motherfucker. I'm fucking dead,
I'm just
dude.
Making okay. sure that everyone knows. Okay, first roll, everyone, was a natty 2 Oof. For a total of 8. This thing flies forward and slams into the shield. It is, like, clawing and hissing. You're not even looking, Ollie. You're just, like, holding the shield, and you can just hear this, like, rabid monster on the other side. Trying to kind of get through to you, but it lacks any kind of precision. Tundra, you can definitely see this thing now. Second roll is a 5. I can't believe how badly I've rolled.
Ooh. Okay, baby. Wow.
Okay, baby.
Okay, baby. Okay, baby.
Oh, okay, baby.
You're okay, Ollie. You're okay.
Yeah, you can hear this little whimpering. You're okay, Ollie. You're okay from behind the shield. As this thing is just, like, literally, like, throwing, like, fists. It's, like, at one point, it just grabs the shield and starts, like, headbutting it, like,
no.
furiously. Blood starts pouring from its own forehead. I think that, just as an observation, you guys would have seen monsters and creatures and things like that. There is something perturbing about the way that this thing is acting right now. It's beyond that of even a feral creature. It literally is, like, it is... possessed of one motive, and that is just to kill you all.
In Tundra being from here, is she familiar with this at all? Like, even in lore?
Absolutely not.
Like, not even in...
You've been to Giantsbane as well before.
Right.
I don't think you've ever seen anything remotely like this creature.
And I haven't even heard in, like, history classes that something like this could exist.
Like, looking at the fact that it's got, like, sharp pointy, like, all of you know what a vampire is, right? Vampires freely exist in this world, but also vampires...
Is there, like, a Twilight equivalent in this world?
Yeah, there's a large portion of vampires that are just, like, part of society
got
as well.
It.
Like, you know, people are just like, okay, yeah, vampires exist, sure, whatever. This is something else. This is... You'd almost put it in, like, sort of zombie-like territory as opposed to... But it has all the outward appearance of a vampire.
Heard.
So, yeah, it does... It sort of crashes into you and is sort of absolutely rabid. Tundra, it is going to be your turn next.
Okay. How far away am I from it right now?
5 feet. It is like you're... Because you were right sort of behind Ollie, so this thing is right next to you.
Or am I between her and it?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think the order was that you were first,
yeah.
And the crate is then behind you.
Yeah.
So the crate is in between you and Ollie, and then Tundra is at the back.
It's so funny that I literally sat with you, Jesper, and I was like, I want to fight. And now I'm like, I don't want to fight.
I don't want to fight. No. No. Peace and love, man. Peace and love.
Can I try to, like, almost lasso it?
Mm-hmm. Where would you want it to go? Like, it would come towards you, most likely, if you
right, but is there anything, like, on the wall I could tie it to that it couldn't get?
You probably have, like, a piton or something in your inventory, like a, you know, like a small, like, metal sort of spike or something, which, to be honest, like, Tundra specifically would have, because they are essentially, like, if you're going to climb anything in, like, on the dark side of Anvil, it's going to be snowy as hell.
Cool.
So you essentially, like, have to do that, otherwise you will, like, plummet. So I'll say that you've got some, like, spiky boot coverings, right? Like, little kind of spiky attachments that you can put on your shoe. If you wanted to, like, stake that in the ground, for want of a better term, and then sort of, you could have the sort of rope tied around that and then try and sort of attach it.
Would it be theoretically strong enough? Because if my big plan was, like, tie it up like it's kind of an animal, and then if we can move quickly, we can get some distance.
I'll say that there might be, like, there'll be a couple, like, strength checks from the creature, but, like, at the very least, it would slow it down, for sure.
All right, I'm going to try that first.
Go ahead, then, I would say, and make me... This is... Unfortunately, this is probably a little bit more, like, precision rather than just, like, raw strength, because you're trying to kind of lasso this thing as it's attacking your friend through a sort of narrow and very dark hallway. So I'll say that you can choose survival or sleight of hand, whichever of those you feel... most comfortable with.
I'll do sleight of hand.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And a natural 20.
No,
that's my
way!
First roll of the day.
No. Sweet. Fucking
yeah.
Way.
That's why we do it, folks. That's why we do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Mom, you can come pick me up. I killed it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Aaron, you're excused. You can leave class.
Thanks. I get to go home, idiots.
I lassoed it around its neck and its neck popped off, so.
Yeah, it says weaknesses right here. Lasso around the neck. No. Wow, huge. Okay, this thing, I'll basically, I think there's like a moment where you basically use like Ollie's shield to kind of like bounce the top of the lasso up, and it, as it does one another like headbutt, it literally just headbutts into the kind of gap and then gets like yanked off to the side as you pull it sort of down the corridor towards you. I'll say that essentially it's in a very cramped space now in between you and Ollie, so you'll still need to like get past it to some degree, but like definitely it is lashed to this thing, and you can have like kind of pulled the rope super taut, right? So that it's like the leash is very, very small. But hell yeah, what a turn. Absolutely amazing.
That was a hell yeah.
Yeah, that was very much a hell yeah. Do you want to try and move past it? Basically the deal is it's gonna get like one free swing on you if you want to try and move past it.
I'm gonna try.
Yeah, okay.
My hit points are still where they're supposed to be, right? Or am I down like 8 or something?
I think you'd taken a little bit of damage from the previous, but yeah, not,
I think
a,
it was
not a
like,
huge.
It's somewhere between 6 and 8, I think.
I think you'd taken 8 points, that I think, from the blast.
Well, then I'll give it a shot.
Okay, go ahead. I'll just roll to attack you. That's what it is. It's just, we're just making a straight up attack roll. Ooh, it got a 14 for a dirty 20, which I do believe hits you.
Ooh. Never mind. I guess.
Dang.
It's okay. Just a little scratch. It's just a little scratch.
If I'm a vampire, though, do I turn?
No. It's okay.
Ooh, that is actually spicy. You take 17 points of damage.
Yikes.
Why did you guys let me do that?
10 of which is necrotic damage. Your hit point total is reduced by 10, like your maximum that you can hit. So what's your max HP currently?
58, but then I would have been down to 50.
Yeah, so your current max that you can hit is 48.
What?
Right now, until you get healed. As you go past this thing, it literally, like, that's a graphic description I just got in my head. Now I have to share it with all of you guys. It, like, bites into Tundra's arm. And, like, you know when you, like, catch a cuticle or whatever on your fingernail and, like, some skin peels back?
No.
Like, it bites into your arm and, like, just peels some of the skin off.
Sorry, I tossed my headphones across the room.
Yes, fair enough. That was a pretty
visceral
ouchy description. So yes, this thing takes a big old chunk out of Tundra, but you do get past, however. You do get past as it's kind of like snapping and snarling at you, and it will try to free itself on its next turn, but that means we are at Shaddy, your go.
Okay.
You do not know what's happened back there, unless Tundra, you're sort of saying anything or like shouting anything, like, you know, move or go or whatever. Because otherwise, Shaddy's literally in the dark.
But I hear the scuffle and I know that probably something crazy is happening.
Yeah.
So then I turn around and I sort of walk back or move back to see what's happening.
Sure. I think for that to happen, Ollie would have to kind of back up. Essentially, there's like not enough room for you to like get past someone.
Oh.
Sort of short of them. Shaddy, you've got the crate in between you, which is literally taking up like the whole space. So you'd have to like back up past the T-junction and then, you know, so you're kind of just hearing this on, like, muffled on the other side of a crate currently. Also knowing that if the crate gets hit again, some bad shit might happen.
Right.
Maybe just take the crate and just go.
I was going to say, and I can't see anything ahead of me. Like, there's no, like, light or anything.
Pitch black.
I think probably Shaddy probably, like, sits there for a second, and he's like, trying to, like, figure out how to, like, squeeze past the box.
Tundra screams.
Yeah. Kind of, like, freaking out a little bit. This, from like it sounds like he hears the sounds of, like, an animal attacking people, like, in his mind. And he is probably, like, freaking the fuck out. And so I imagine he just blindly rages, probably, because that means he starts crying because he's terrified.
Yeah.
And I think in his mind, he is like, I can't get back there. So I think he's going to move further down the tunnel as fast as he can to try to find if there's another T or there's another junction that he can kind of like do like that old puzzle thing where you try to get the car out of the parking lot that's packed, where he can like get to another tee, push the box down the tee, and then switch places with it.
Yep, love it.
So I have 40 feet of movement speed, and I guess since I don't plan to do anything, maybe can I like dash?
You can action dash for sure.
So I would have like, I'd have like 80 feet that I can do at any point in that movement. Would I find an offshoot pathway or
yes something? But before we resolve that,
oh fucking hell, Jasper. What do you mean before that?
You said that you would like to rage. I will need you to roll on the table.
I was right. It's bad. I was right. It's bad if you do it. Oh, no.
So if you could please roll me a D8.
Jasper.
Yo, we're going to die in this hole, dude.
A 4. It's a 4. It's a 4. I rolled a 4.
You rolled a 4.
This rolling a 4 kills all undead stuff, right?
That's yeah, the thing. I think so.
That's actually it. How did you know? Whoa, this could not have been more helpful, actually.
Oh, great.
You have the choice to swap positions with any creature that you know of within 60 feet of you. Who do you want to pick?
Me.
Me. Definitely me.
I swap with Ollie, so he'll be barricaded behind the box.
There is a delightfully whimsical kind of smoke as Shadi, you sort of disappear.
Oh my God.
You reappear on the other side of this box. And before you, you see Tundra with literally part of like the skin of her arm being peeled off. With its monstery thing, with the skin hanging out of its mouth, staring at you like.
Good God.
In the immediate moment of seeing this thing, Shadi's reminded of a time at a big family function where a family friend had a pet that was like this like really terrifying, weird little, like it was supposed to be cute, but it hated Shadi and it just like basically snarled at him and like snapped at him and everybody thought it was hilarious. And they kept like egging the pet on to try to scare Shadi even worse. And so he has this like flashback to like that dog, or I guess whatever. There's probably a funnier, cooler animal, not a dog, some kind of weird little.
Nah, it's just a chihuahua. It was just a chihuahua. It was in like a lady's handbag. That
two
was just
tails.
It was, yeah, a chihuahua with two tails. And Shaddy's like so like overcome by that. He like has that flashback. And at the time when he was like younger, all he wanted to do was like try to rip the chihuahua's head off.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
I think in this moment, Shadi, I think Shadi's going to try to rip this thing's head off.
Incredible.
Insane strength. I have like a plus 7 for strength. So I feel like I want to like try to.
Please do it.
Rock 'em sock 'em robots. Yeah.
How big is this thing, by the way? That's the other. It's like human size.
I'd say it's like actually a little, probably just a little smaller okay. than your sort of average humanoid. It's probably like
okay, yeah. And I'm a big human, so I'm not.
Yeah,
I think I could rip its head off.
Yeah, and essentially what you're trying to do here is like I think Tundra's probably in the process of trying to get past you, as you're kind of now blocking the way, sticking your like sort of reaching your hand back towards it to try and like grab hold of something to then try and like, you know, hurt it in some way. So go ahead and make me I guess athletics to try and rip this thing's head off.
Damn. Okay. That's still good. Okay, here we go. I got a 24.
Sweet.
Woo! 24. Love that. Do you know what? Go ahead and roll me a D100. Let's see what happens here.
Oh God, let's see. 19.
19. Okay.
Oh no.
Here's what happens. With a 24, you make contact with this creature and you like instinctively kind of slam its head against the wall and start essentially kind of like going a little feral on the creature itself.
Yes. Exactly what I wanted to do, the chihuahua.
Perfect. You've snuck past Shadi at this point, and you're now in this tunnel, sort of surrounded by this thing. And as the rage is kind of overcoming you, you can feel that there is something deeply wrong with your magic. It is not that it is not there, but it's like the pool that you're tapping into, the resource that you're tapping into, is not the same as it used to be. As you smash its head into things, and I'll say that you do, let's see, I'll honor the 24. So yeah, we'll say this is 10 points of damage. Would have done 20, but this thing has a resistance to non-magical damage. However, as this happens, you feel that rage welling up inside of you, and as you're making this attack, suddenly out of all of your pores starts to leak this like oily, greasy substance. As you cast grease on this whole tunnel. Tundra, you suddenly stop moving because you are literally like doing a slip and slide right now. You are just like on pure slick oil.
This comes
like,
out of his skin?
Yes, it comes out of his skin. It starts seeping out of his skin. Your clothes are soaked.
What is happening?
And you feel like every time you're dipping into the rage, it's... like something essentially is happening.
Greasier and greasier.
Yes, or other things that aren't grease.
In this moment, we're getting greasier.
In this moment, grease, yes.
Okay.
So I think this, you know, potentially does aid your... it certainly will impose disadvantage on this creature trying to escape. So slick grease covers a 10-foot square centered on you. It turns into difficult terrain, and every creature must make a dexterity... Oh, so I need Tundra, the vampire, and you to make a dexterity saving throw. Otherwise, you will fall prone.
Am I out of that radius?
No, the box has been slapped with some grease, but you didn't... it kind of stopped you from getting hit.
Slicked it up for easy pulling.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, actually, yeah, it's probably a little easier. Like, the wheels stop squeaking as you pull them.
Perfect.
I rolled a 2.
Yes, the vampire also rolled a 4. So, Tundra, you immediately just sort of face plant into the ground, and you're just sort of lying, sort of planking on the ground currently.
Tundra's not having an awesome day so far.
Yeah, yeah. As the sort of grease that seemed to have come out of your friend's skin just sort of blankets this area and you slip in it. Even the vampire honestly looks a little disturbed by what it's seen. The vampire like kind of cocks his head. It's like,
weird time for you to get picky, buddy.
I rolled an 18 for if I needed to deck.
You're all good. Yeah. So you kind of instinctively knew this was going to happen like a half a second before it happened. Incredible. So you did some damage, and it doesn't currently look like its head is sort of imminent to pop off, but it is definitely hurting for sure. It doesn't look like the sturdiest of creatures. With that being said, it is now Ollie's turn.
Okay. What will it take me to get to the other side of this box? I want to join the fight and help my friends a little bit, but I also want to pull the box a little further out of the way.
If you actually go 20 feet forward, you'll hit another T-junction, which would allow you to essentially do the shaddy move, so to speak.
I will do that then. I will...
pull the shaddy.
Pull it. Pull a shaddy.
You can pull a shaddy, yeah.
I'll run 10 feet forward and back and just, like, low crouch.
Yeah.
And then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick up a javelin. I'm going to hurl it at this vampire who is... Is the vampire restrained on the ground?
Yes, technically it is restrained. And it is prone and restrained because it has the thing around its neck.
And Shaddy's just retching on it.
I'm going to hurl a javelin at it. I rolled a very high roll. That's a 23.
Dang.
That thing cuts right through its heart.
20? Does it? Is that what happens?
I aimed for whatever center mass was. So, cooler's choice on that.
Well, so here's the thing. I was going to impose this advantage, but I think it's funnier if you've rolled 23. So here's what I am going to do. I'm going to need you to pick high or low, because you've essentially just... scooted back as fast as you could into a very greasy area,
yeah,
which you didn't know was greasy, okay, as you're throwing a javelin down a very narrow corridor towards two people. So I'm going to ask you, high or low? It's going to be a 23 either way, and then I'll get you to roll just a straight d20. So, George Primavera, high or low?
I'm going to go high.
You're going to go high? Okay, roll those dice.
Come on.
Oh, no.
9.
Oh, no. George is dead.
How much damage do you do to Shaddy Toilet as you...
No, dude.
You drive this javelin into...
3.
Oh,
Three, okay, halved because Shadi's raging.
Great.
So Shadi, a javelin suddenly sticks out of your leg.
Damn it.
It's like a, it kind of goes in and then immediately goes limp and it's just kind of caught on the skin. It's just like, Shadi. Really doesn't hurt, like at all. The annoying thing is your thigh was directly in front of the vampire's heart.
Yeah.
So it kind of hit into your thigh.
Instead of going for that.
And you're like, no, if it had just gone there. But you do have a wooden... Essentially a wooden stake sticking out of your legs. So that's...
I was going to say, yeah. No, that's great.
Okay, well, I've passed the tool to you.
But...
And then... which was my goal.
What a generous read.
I think when that happens, Shadi probably does not put together that you threw it. And Shadi thinks that there's more enemies down here.
There's booby traps.
And so Shadi screams, I think there's more.
Use their weapons against them, Shadi. Use their weapons against them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to hurl one more javelin.
Nice.
With my second attack.
I will just say, just with disadvantage on this one.
Hits Tundra between the eyes somehow.
Please, God, no. I rolled two 11s for a 16 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay, there we go. This is going to... Oh, God damn, another 3 points of damage.
3 points of damage.
It's okay.
I'm going to try to lay on hands myself. What happens? If I use a bonus action...
You're trying to lay on hands yourself?
I use a bonus action to lay on hands with the 2024 Paladin.
You use your lay on hands and...
Just like put five. What happens if I try to put five back into myself?
You get nothing.
Nothing. And I don't access anything.
Nope. It does not. There's nothing there. I'll let you actually go ahead and roll me a straight intelligence check on this.
Okay.
Because I think this is something that Ollie might actually be able to piece together in this moment.
Yeah. I think the lay on hands is me trying to figure out what's going on.
Mm.
Ooh, almost rolled a nat one. That is a 14.
With a 14, I think what you realize immediately is that your divine sense also didn't pick up. This is probably like a slight retcon, but I think it kind of helps the narrative of this moment.
Okay.
I think your divine sense sort of picked up on something inside Shadi, which didn't identify something that you kind of recognized.
Okay.
So essentially, I think what Ollie realized in this moment is that every type of magic in this world draws its power from like a specific thing that is tangibly found in the world.
Yeah.
So the nebula produces illusion magic. Andium, right. The metal, produces like evocation and abjuration magic.
That's in my heart.
And that's what's in your heart, right? So it has like a real tangible effect, like thing. However, you get the impression looking at Shadi that whatever magic is sort of innately sort of activates or he taps into when he rages is literally drawn from a different plane of existence.
Shadi.
Now, whether that plane of existence is shifted somehow.
Oh my God.
That's a different question. But essentially the reason why he is still able to use some sort of magic is because he doesn't draw it from a object or a place that is tangibly found in the world right now.
Okay. That's it for me then. Damn.
Cool. Love it. So with that 3 points of damage, what I'm going to say is the second javelin does go just a slightly higher. It whistles over Shadi's thigh this time. It does hit like into the chest and you can kind of hear it like crunch a little bone, but it's just like, it's not quite in there enough. So there's now a javelin sticking out of this thing's chest and sticking out of your leg, Shadi. However, it is now the vampire's turn.
No!
Oh, God.
Yes! So, it is going to take some attacks on Shadrick Trulit.
I got this.
First with its claws.
Can't do anything.
Come on! A 3!
Yeah, keep those low.
That is most upsetting.
Yeah, you suck. You suck, vampire.
I would say maybe don't provoke it more.
21!
No!
Gets a 21 with a bite. As it like as blood starts to seep out of the wound on your leg, it like almost loses its mind and immediately just like its jaw kind of distends a little bit as it just latches onto your leg. And as it does so, you take 17 again. 17 points of damage. Your max hit points is reduced by 11, not 10.
Meh.
And you see the vampire looks a little healthier after that as it starts sucking your blood.
Oh, fuck.
You also get the feeling that if this was to stay attached to your leg for much longer, there might be other adverse effects.
Yeah, it's a vampire.
Yeah, that's kind of how they do it.
Are those adverse effects happening to me currently since it got a swipe
no,
of me?
Okay. It was a brief connection, not a... What's happening to Shaddy is a sort of more of a latched-on type deal.
Okay, heard. Using him as a juice box. Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
That's good turlet.
Yeah, the vampire lifts its head and goes,
who is that turlet?
100% turlet for 100% vampires.
100% corn-fed turlet.
I too have a javelin.
Oh, okay.
Amazing. Yeah. I love this.
So I'm going to try to throw it right into its heart.
Okay. Let's do this.
But even if it doesn't, I hope it's sort of like when you're playing bags and you hit your teammate's bag in by accident. If it doesn't hit the heart, I hope it hits the other javelin further.
What I'm going to say is, basically, Shaddy, I'm imagining, is in like a strong kneeled position right now with this vampire attached. It's like, so what you're going to have to do here, Tundra, is use the grease on the floor to like bounce the javelin off the floor, under his leg, and up into the heart of this creature. So it's a trick shot, essentially.
So it should be pretty easy.
But I think you got this. So go ahead and make me an attack roll with the javelin. This is only possible, by the way, because of the grease. So I'm being fair. And also, you know... ridiculous.
18.
So you bounce this thing off of the ground, goes up, hits into the chest of this vampire. It doesn't quite do the Robin Hood of like splitting the other javelin in half and kind of going further in.
That would have been so sick.
But like it's right next to it. You know what I mean? It's so close. Like, it was so painfully close.
Tundra decides in that moment that when she tells this story, she's definitely going to tell it the other
That's
way.
That's how it's going to be. Yeah. Yeah. And I think also the other two just look at you instinctively. Everyone knows the shared narrative that we're going with.
We're all going to tell it. Like, it was cool enough that we won't feel guilty just sort of embellishing it a little bit.
Yeah.
The spirit of it's honest.
Yeah. The spirit of it's honest. That's so true.
Spirit of the moment's true.
I love the idea that someone asks you, like, was that story true? And you go, the spirit of it was true.
Yeah.
I will say that essentially what happens in this moment is, like, as the javelin pierces the heart, like, the vampire isn't able to, like, reel away or, like, react because it's also got the thing around its neck. As it hits into its chest, you see that kind of the almost, like, decay starts to form around the center of the javelin as it kind of collapses almost, like, in on itself. And the body seems to, like, rot almost in the space of, like, a few seconds. Make me a quick saving throw, Shaddy. This is a very low DC. You'll be
plus
fine.
+3 for within 10 feet of me.
Amazing. Little owly flash aura.
14 plus 17.
17. Absolutely fine. Shadow, you move your leg out of the way just as like the head starts to decompose. And you can see some like pretty nasty looking black ichor like sort of close to the wound on your leg. And you feel like that wouldn't have been great.
Oh no.
But you manage to like move out of the way, no problem. And yeah, you will find yourself in this kind of very slippy and slidey tunnel with the sort of decomposing and rotting corpse of a vampire. What would you guys like to do next? Are you going left? Are you going right? You were heading right originally, and the vampire came from the left, so I will be fair. The box currently as well, you've also left sort of unattended some ways down the road.
I think we got to get the box, unfortunately. Would love to sort of leave it and make it someone else's problem.
Can we spare like 30 seconds really quick?
For what? Because I think I'm turning into a vampire.
Oh, Shaddy, if you really got to go, I get it. I just feel like I'm a liability. Every part of my body hurts so bad. I just need to set some wounds really quick.
Hey, not now. Oh, hey.
Forget it. It can wait. Let's pick it up.
All right, yeah, let's go.
Okay, so you turn right, some 10 foot forwards, you find another fork, left, right. I'll say that you, with the last kind of, as the divine sense drops away, you can feel the presence of that consecrated area off to the sort of left, sort of generally more left than it is right.
Guide us that way.
Which way would you like to head?
Definitely towards the consecrated area.
Yeah.
Right? Any dissent on that?
No, that feels right.
Amazing. Are you just going for it? And what's the order as well?
I think me front if I'm leading us towards the consecrated area, and I'm pushing the thing.
And I'll go last.
Yeah, you're pushing, so it's in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Cool.
Yeah, that's what's happening, yeah.
You get a little ways down the tunnel, and you can see light starting to spill in. So you feel like you're towards the end of this tunnel now. However, Ollie, and I'm going to give you essentially, like, you can react to this however you think Ollie would react. You feel there is a tiny little bit of resistance as you kind of pushing the box. You feel like a... And then something kind of almost seems to click. And then there's like a tension on the box. Almost like something's pushing sort of slightly back on against the other side.
Fuck.
But you can't see anything because the box basically takes up the whole kind of tunnel.
Okay. It gives some resistance.
As in essentially it feels like you kind of like pushed it enough so that it hit something which went sort of clicked and now is sort of like you can feel the resistance, like you could okay. You could keep pushing for sure, but you'd be pushing against something.
I freeze.
Yeah.
And can I make an investigation check and see if I can figure out what's going on?
Yeah, for sure. You can like be looking down the side of the box, whatever.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to offer the help action.
Oh.
Don't worry, I said that out loud before you made that noise.
Yeah, that'd be great help.
Unfortunately, I think Shaddy's too distracted thinking about what it might mean to be a vampire.
John, you can have inspiration.
No!
For choosing to be distracted rather than help. Do you think Tundra would help with this investigation?
Yes, or? For sure.
So you can roll again on that one. Yeah.
Oh! It was on that 20 and then it switched.
No.
Ugh, that's a 10.
Ugh. 10 total?
Total of a 10. Do I notice anything?
With a 10, you look down the side and like, there's like the tiniest, there's like something that's kind of like, there's a perfect kind of seam of light down the side of the box. And there's like a tiny little kind of break in the seam, like really thin little break in the seam. And this is essentially you looking around the sides of the box. There's light spilling towards you, so it's hard to make out any details. But you can see this, like, you can see that, like, whatever that tiny little sort of break in the light is, that's what you're pushing against. And are you keeping the tension, by the way? And, like, are you kind of staying kind of...
Yeah, I haven't. I'm not backing up.
Pushed, but without backing up or pushing further anymore.
I think I'm about to back up unless somebody says otherwise, though. Oh, I think we shouldn't have come here. And I'm going to pull this thing back.
You're going to back up?
Yeah, we'll back up.
But the other way, there's clearly these vampires. What are you doing?
Well, I'm just backing up 5 feet to release the tension on whatever that thing I'm pushing against is.
But what if it's something bad?
Yeah, then we're going to die. This wasn't a great move, but I didn't know what else to do and no one was telling me to do anything.
Tundra's a little distracted because she keeps looking over at Shaddy being like, are you a vampire?
Shaddy's probably selling it as well. Like, oh.
Shaddy's sitting there, like, touching his canines. Like, feeling like if they're growing or not.
Yeah, and Ollie went to med school and then prison, so I don't know what I'm doing in these caves.
Yeah.
I'll say at this point, Shaddy shakes off his thoughts because he realizes you all have been staring at him first.
As you back 5 feet off, that tension releases. You hear a second click.
Fuck.
And something goes...
I hit the deck.
Nothing happens. You don't hear a secondary noise. It's just... It kind of sounds like something sliding against something else.
Hmm.
Can I make a perception check, look around?
Yeah.
I'll say someone else if they want to make
I'll do it.
I'll say investigation, because this is still like your... It sounded like it came from the other side of the box.
15.
I just want to clarify as well, I really can't tell you how little I thought this would be. I'd planned this, but there's no universe where I thought this is where we would be.
Well, fuck.
So I don't know how you get out. I just want to clarify that I don't know where, you know, we're going.
We're in an over-leveled area.
With the 15, you can quite clearly see down the side of the box, there was a tripwire, and now on the other side of the tripwire, a hole has opened in the ground in the direction that you're sort of needing to head, and also from behind you. Not like super close, but like it's coming.
All right, what do I have in my inventory?
I'm assuming Tundra sort of says this, you know, that there's like a, you know, now a hole of some description on this other side of the box.
I have a light spell, but magic's not working, right?
Well, you can try.
No, I don't. Every time we've tried, something bad happens.
I will say, just to clarify, every time we've tried a spell or something, nothing has happened.
Right.
So, like, it's not caused a sort of bad reaction per se.
Except for my grease. And who would call that a bad reaction? You know, grease is kind of
except great. For my grease. Love that sentence.
What's a caltrop?
That's like a thing where you step on and it hurts your foot.
Can I throw one of those behind us?
Oh, behind you? Yeah, for sure.
Just to maybe slow down.
Yeah. You can, like, back up and sort of chuck it down the hallway.
So we can figure out what to do with this hole, yeah.
You hear a wail as if something is not in physical pain, but emotional pain.
Oh, my God. All right, let's push this thing over the hole.
Yeah, how do we do that?
Let's just all, like, charge, 1, 2, 3, push, and we'll try to push it so fast that it goes over the hole.
Can I jump into the hole? Can one of us go in the hole to see?
Well, you can't get past the box, yeah.
So we can't back up.
You could back up if you wanted to switch the order so that you guys going in front of the box, one of you could then essentially go into the hole if you wanted to try and stop the box.
I'm
going to
try to do that.
Hole.
I think that's okay. The move, because we can't just push it in the hole.
Yeah, I know what happens when it hits the ground.
What about, this might be crazy, and I'm saying this with 1,000 vampires screaming behind us in the tunnels. What if we just open this thing up and whatever's inside, we can scoop it out or take some of it and get out of here with our lives? Or we could just leave this thing here. Like, are we just going to die down here for this box?
Let me try to jump in the hole first. And if okay. I die, then you guys do that.
Can we get back out to where she can get into the hole?
So here's what I'm going to say is, I'm going to ask for each of you to make a dexterity saving throw. And essentially this is getting past the caltrop. That you just threw back behind you.
No,
I'm joking. that would be stupid. This is you sort of doing this as quickly as possible before something else arrives, essentially. And then we'll kind of resolve what happens. So we're looking for like a group success here. So 2 out of 3 dexterity saving throws, all 3 of you. Let's
Everybody
go.
Adds 3 for my aura.
I got dirty 20 and a dirty 19.
21.
What did you get, Tundra?
18, 14.
18, okay, perfect. You all good. Okay, so you make it through. I think you can hear the skittering kind of coming from down the hallway, but you manage to rearrange in just enough time. But it is definitely on its way towards you. What is the new order? What do you rearrange sort of into?
Tundra's in front of the box.
In front of the box?
Yeah, I'm going to go
and
first.
And me and Shaddy are behind it.
Okay.
Because I'm tall, so hopefully the hole is not so... I guess could I throw something down to see, like, sound-wise, if I hear it hit?
I'll say for free, you look down, this hole has no end. Like, you cannot see, the bottom of this hole.
Can I sort of fasten some sort of... And the length of the hole is greater than the length of the box.
I'd say, like, just. It's, like, a very, like, human-sized hole, right? It's, like, I would say you could quite easily, like, press your hands up against both sides kind of thing. And sort of wedge yourself there, for sure.
But the box is so heavy that if I were to wedge myself and, like, pass it over myself, I would definitely go flying down into the hole.
Well, you've got, like, feet as well, so it'd be, like, a question of, like, feet and, you know, like, don't get me wrong, this is kind of crazy, but theoretically this can work, 100%.
I think maybe you should jump to the other side and we'll push it and you, like, receive
grab
it and
it,
pull
yeah.
it to the
and
other side.
Is there
side,
anything we have? Does anyone have any, like, rope or anything that we can...
Well, we'll say that there's already rope attached to it. So you can have rope. You can have hold of a rope that's on the other side. So if you go hop across the gap and then the rope is, like, attached to the little, like, dolly thing at the bottom, right?
Great.
So if they're pushing from behind and you pull, is that a sort of fair characterization of the plan here?
Yeah. I think that's great.
Okay. Corridor is too narrow for the two of you to push. So it's going to have to be one of you. Who's going to make that athletics roll?
Shaddy.
Yeah, I'll do it. Okay. I'll do it.
So we're going to go athletics for Shaddy. And then we're going to go, we'll do straight up athletics as well. So we'll make Shaddy and Tundra do an athletics roll. This does mean that, Ollie, you are in the back currently.
Yeah, can I battle medic heal myself really quick?
How long do you need for that?
For me, it's an action because I have like the feature that's like it's battle medic, and I have a special thing where if I use an expenditure of my healer's kit, I can expend a hit dice and heal that hit dice as an action or heal it on somebody else.
Oh, fun. 100%. Yeah, you can go ahead and do that whilst this is happening.
Watching behind us with my 60 feet of dark vision and quick like set like my broken forearm from when I fell and had a heart attack. Ah, fuck.
Yeah, love it. So, Shaddy, let's go ahead and have a little push on this box.
I rolled a 26.
Way!
Hell
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tundra, what did you get to athletics to receive the box?
Nat 1.
16 plus... Nat 1. 16 plus 7 is a 23.
We crushed this.
This thing, like, whistles across the gap. I will say... I had the DC for this like without any complications at like a 21. So this was Whoa. This was pretty hard because you're essentially pushing a box across a gap where there's no seat. There's no like the box can't go any higher, right? So it's like gravity has to get involved at some point, you know. But you managed to truly like yeet this thing across. I think so hard that like Tundra, there's like a second where as the box is coming towards you, you feel like it's gonna like. Fully like land on you or crash into something, but you manage to kind of like get your hands either side and kind of slow it down kind of pretty softly and like cushion the fall. Amazing. There is on the other side of this thing, as you sort of jump across, there is a ramp that leads up and sort of really like opens out now. So you two can hear like kind of coming down the hall that you just came out of. I'm guessing you're just running and jumping over the gap.
Yeah.
Sweet. Because you guys are rushing, just a quick dex check. Just in case, it's a low DC, you'll both be fine, but let's just see.
17,
all good.
16 minus 1 for 15.
Oh, I forgot you had a minus to dex. Oof, that is tough. Yeah, you kind of do a bit of a Mufasa for a second, where you kind of hit the other side, and you're like, whoop.
Head scrape.
Ooh.
I use my shield.
Yeah, yeah. I think... Because you use the shield, you pull yourself up, you leave the shield in the ground for a second, you hear a on the other side of the shield, and then like as something seemingly threw itself across the gap behind you, smacked into the shield, and then fell down the hole.
What was it?
It was one of the vampires. It was like, because it was chasing right on your tail.
I thought it was like a bat size, like ting, no. I'm like a tiny little vampire.
No, it was like a foom! Like, no. It, like, fully, like, smashes into your shield.
Yuck.
And then, like, slips down and falls into the hole.
Oh, my God, get me out of here.
Thank you so much for listening to the Rotating Heroes podcast. You are a legend, and we appreciate you. My name is Jasper William Cartwright. I have been the GM and producer for this. This episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast was produced by 12 Sided Studios. Executive producer Chad Pytel, producer Jess Jewell, and all the sound and audio design was done by the incredible Oliver Moore, with social media support and production support by Ellie Crook and Amber Forshaw. This has been a 12 Sided Studios production, and if you would like to find out more about the amazing stuff that 12 Sided Studios is up to, then please check out 12sidedstudios.com. We have a brand new actual play called Force of Extinction, which you can get playtest materials for free right now over on the 12 Sided Studios Patreon. We have some incredible shows coming out, including a Stormlight Brandon Sanderson adventure that we did in partnership with Brotherwise Games, among a plethora of other things. We've got more shows to be announced in the new year as well. So this is just one of our very cool and awesome slate of things. So if you want to find out more, the best place to go is the 12 Sided Studios Patreon. Thank you so much for listening to this. In this arc, your rotators have been Erin Keefe, John Mackey, and George Primavera. Oh, and I've been your GM. And then he forgot.